Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this is part two of Knowledge Fight's coverage of Alex Jones's very stupid documentary Endgame. I am Dan. The other voice you will hear here in a little bit is my co-host Jordan. Like I said, this is part two of our Endgame coverage. If you don't want to find part one, if you're weirdly accidentally stumbling into this episode, you can find that on our iTunes page. You can just search for Knowledge Fight. It is there. I probably wouldn't recommend starting on episode two, but be that as it may. When we last left off, Alex Jones was heading to Canada. What was he going to do there? Spoiler alert. He's going to check in with the people of Bilderberg and wander around with a bullhorn. I hope you enjoy that, and let's get into it. Here goes.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
This is Alex Jones Goes to Canada.
Oh, no.
The limos carried royalty, political power brokers, and industrial titans to a secret meeting that will last all weekend. It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
There was a time whenever every newscaster had to have that kind of Ted Koppel voice of like, who talks like you?
Ted Koppel.
Yeah.
Alex Jones uses that clip as like evidence that the Bilderberg Group is looking for world domination.
Of course.
When all you have is a news reporter saying, are they?
Is it?
Because assholes like Jim Tucker keep telling me it's the case.
Right.
Every 4 years, Bilderberg meets in North America. And in June of 2006...
This is multiple articles from 2003. The last one was from 2015.
We
Elite
decided
power
to travel to Ottawa,
secrets.
The capital of Canada.
Not a secret!
Well, that's... But they put it out in the press to make sure you know. So many
in
news articles about this
history,
secretive meeting.
Many reporters attempting to cover the group have been harassed, detained, and even...
This is a meeting of the minds. That's a terrible place to freeze frame. This is Jim Tucker right here, and this is a guy named Daniel Estulin.
Oh.
And I'm very excited to tell you about him in a little
bit. Okay, I gotcha.
He's almost as fun as Leo Zagami, not as fun as our friend, I was going to say Hammurabi. What's his name? Hamamoto.
I jokingly reassured my cameramen that the horror stories we'd read about were probably exaggerated.
Definitely.
I was wrong.
What?
We know reporters get detained at airports. People aren't let in. We know people get sent to the jailhouse for 3 or 4 hours. It happens every time. Well, it happened to Alex Jones this time. They admitted Bilderberg that they've had pressure put on them by the government. To heighten security, and that's why all this happened. Yes, I was told that by two
separate
people.
You're on cocaine.
They scoured our records for hours yesterday and hours today, trying to find something on us, and of course there was nothing. It was just scary. I mean, I've been all over the world, and I've never seen anything like this. It was like hours of humiliation. And they said, what are you here for? And I said, well, I'm here to,
reenactment.
You know,
wow.
Cover the media.
This is lifetime level stuff.
I was answering all the questions. It was clear I wasn't a threat. It was clear I didn't have any criminal record. It was clear I was present.
You totally have a criminal record.
They were going to deny me. They told me earlier that I was probably going to be denied. And then you guys showed up and everything changed.
So what's your plan now?
My plan is to go out and try to interview Jim Tucker.
So he's going to go try and interview Jim Tucker. I want to read
that's
you.
A shitty plan.
I want to read.
If that's your first salvo back. Not a good plan.
He's a big fan of Jimmy.
Yeah.
So the only thing I can find about Alex being detained by Canadian Customs is an article from written by Paul Joseph Watson on Prison Planet.
Of course.
And I want you to raise your hand when you hear the point that seems a little bit out of place in this report.
Okay.
Quote, Customs openly told Alex as soon as they brought him into custody that the Bilderberg Group was aware of his arrival and that this was the reason for his detainment. I forgot that there's multiple points. That's one of them, but that's not the big one.
All right.
All three members of the team were instantly detained despite going through different immigration desks. Officials knew everything about Alex, even the fact that George W. Bush once had him arrested in 1998. It's not strictly speaking true.
What?
He yelled something at a press conference and police escorted him out, and he pretends that he got arrested.
So it wasn't like George W. Bush from his ivory tower said, arrest that man.
No.
It was like Alex Jones was an asshole in public, and they were like, we can't have you doing this.
Yeah, yeah. He interrupted a speech.
Gotcha. Very different way to word that.
Yeah. I was screamed at. I was cussed at. I was interrogated, said Alex. Jail threats were issued as officials seized and searched through Alex's equipment for 15 hours. He was told that if any trace of pornography was found on his three computers, that he would be arrested.
Is that a Canadian thing?
No.
Is that a thing that I wasn't aware of?
No. I don't believe so.
Wait,
don't you think that's a little specific?
So,
don't you think that's a little specific?
So if I understand correctly.
Alex really wants you to know he didn't have any porn with him. That's what he said.
If I understand correctly. Canadian officials, one, do not fuck with Bilderberg.
No.
Do not fuck with Bilderberg. We
no.
know who you are.
No.
We are fucking following you.
Second?
Two, no porn in Canada.
If you're
How
gonna,
dare you?
If you're going to jack
you
it.
You bring your American porn here.
If you're going to jack it, memories.
Yeah.
I think there is some sort
or use our homegrown Canadian porn. It's like the customs office. You don't want anybody bringing in an outside species of porn?
Right. It's got to, there's tariffs.
Yeah, it'll get everywhere.
Immigration officials seemed to take a gleeful satisfaction in detaining the team, claiming they were liars and not part of the media. That's fair. Despite one admitting to having seen Alex Jones's documentary.
He admitted to it?
Yep.
And he still said that he wasn't part of the media? Perhaps there was a larger thing.
Accusations of drugs and weapons smuggling were thrown around without recourse. Quote, "You Americans shit all over us Canadians and think you can do anything you want to us," said one immigration official who was acting like a drill sergeant. I don't believe the story at all.
No.
I think Alex missed a flight.
I don't know.
I think that's what happened.
I don't know anybody. No.
He
no.
showed up late.
I don't buy that story.
And he had to come up with a reason why. I got detained by customs. They thought I had porno.
Of course.
It's ridiculous.
Or he had so much porn.
That's possible, too.
That the only explanation for why he would make it that specific is they totally found some porn.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, put that in there. Put that in the record.
Paul,
they did not find anything. Put it in the record.
Paul, write it down.
I don't porn.
Go down to the Bilderberg group and maybe catch some of them still arriving and try to still make a documentary.
Ugh, life is so hard for you.
You're
going to
hear a lot of
this.
They play this throughout most of it.
Oh, boy.
In the morning, when the Bilderberg group attendees, the 100 elite of the planet, start showing up, we're going to be getting here about 3:30 or so, and we'll see if we can catch any of the elites coming in.
Currently, the answer is zero elites.
Pretty boring.
They have caught no elites.
Way more than once, Alex is going to get into a conversation of where the property line starts. I should warn you about that.
High drama.
Yes, indeed.
What do you think is on the agenda for this edition of the Bilderberg Society Annual Meeting?
They're debating the attack on Iran. They're talking about how to take out Hugo Chavez.
Oh,
they're talking about how to get
I'm
their American Union in that destroys Canadian, U.S., and Mexican sovereignty. So we're talking about the death of Canada is what's happening in there right now. The
Can
death
I get a
of
cup
sovereignty
of coffee?
Is happening in there right now. CNN has even reported
I
that
got
these
laws
individuals
and screaming
have
a lot
put out
today.
The policy reports through the Council on Foreign Relations that writes their scholarly white papers to end the United States, to end Canada, and to end Mexico.
What about everybody else?
About 10 have come in.
Later.
Are they going to be fine?
Later.
Is it in that order?
They've been coming in slowly in typically big black cars with what appears to be bulletproof glass.
That's
generally
just a guess.
Of some of the people. We're being kept well back from the building by an awful lot of security people. But, you know, there'll be more security as this thing develops.
Again, just a reminder to stay off the front. Okay.
I am. This is the line. We checked
yes,
the
you are.
Thank you. It's one.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is going to be a bit of the next, 10 minutes. A lot of them taking pictures of people.
Okay. This is not particularly riveting
here
footage.
From, upstate
There's
New York.
Literally nothing
I
substantive.
I want to go back to whenever
when
he was just showing
random-ass
pictures of World War II up there.
8:30 in the morning. And so, of course, I complied to what they wanted. I wasn't happy about it because I had been tired. I drove quite a long way.
You know you're
then,
an asshole.
I went down
you
to have something to eat.
But at the same time,
and
it's
I just
like,
saw a
yes,
bunch of security here, and I was wondering
Sorry.
What was going on, and I asked questions. And they said they were having a wedding or they were having some sort of reception. So I decided to ask a couple more questions because I thought it was kind of weird.
Right.
And then I saw them.
He's just a guy.
From
He's
my
just
hotel
a guy.
Window,
he wanted
the
hotel
back,
room.
He's like,
with
hey,
flashlights,
you
looking
got
at the trees,
room for
looking
the
up
night?
The, through
like,
the trees,
like,
and
why
they were
not?
Also in
it's
front
like
of the
Joseph.
Hotel, combing. It looked like combing the hotel. So I kind of got. Was wondering what was going on, and I left.
Where is this guy from?
I think
I got
it's
up
Canadian.
This morning.
I think he's a Canadian accent.
I checked out, and the fellow that I spoke with, the last fellow I spoke with, said, "Well, you know all about it in the newspaper." Well, I didn't have to wait because there was a group of people out here telling me everything that was going on.
Through a bullhorn.
They're not fooling anybody any longer when you've got this many cops, you know, and detaining Alex Jones at the border.
Oh, you can't be detaining Alex Jones at the border.
But it does help build this narrative.
Get him on both sides.
It's the perfect beginning to Alex Jones going to Bilderberg.
Yeah, you're going to go to jail like Ken Lay.
If he made it there with no incident, how boring would that be?
Oh. He probably started some shit. He had to.
That's another possibility.
Hey, he went through security and was like, do you know who I am?
We're going to defeat the new world.
I've got a bomb named Alex Jones, but they're not a real bomb.
It's a truth bomb.
Truth bomb.
Or he missed his flight.
Yeah.
Always does throughout history.
Now he's just threatening people through closed windows.
So what's the drama here? Is the narrative going to be him breaking into the Bilderberg and then he finds out all the information and then that's that?
Good God, no.
Like, what are we doing here?
He's taking pictures of people. That's it. It doesn't evolve.
This is it.
Yeah.
There's no further. He doesn't get in.
Jim Tucker talks to him drunk at a bar. That's what happens next.
The Bilderberg Group.
Spoiler alert.
As well as the head of its steering committee.
We looked him up on Google.
The committee he heads selects and invites each year's attendees.
So what?
In the last decade, the list of attendees has been leaked to reporters by moles
you
on the inside.
You would think that he would believe in these rich people having
veteran
a right
newspaper
of association.
Jim Tucker has been covering the Bilderberg meetings for over
not
30
if they're,
years.
Not if they're
and has physically attended more than 20.
Cowboy hats.
We traveled back to our hotel to see if Jim Tucker received the 2006 list.
Jimmy, you got the list? Jimmy! We're almost a quarter of the way
first
through.
First heard about Bilderberg in 1975.
Sort of.
Seven and a half more hours to go.
That's not possible. Who in hell's Bilderberg? I spent 20 happy years with metropolitan newspapers. All the wires are clicking at my ear. That could not happen without me knowing about it. And the thing that first impressed me most was calls in 1957 by the late, great Westbrook Pegler, widely syndicated columnist.
So, this is fun because Alex Jones once again has insert citation here in the bibliography.
Westbrook Pegler.
More funny names.
God damn it, Dad.
So Jim Tucker found out about the Bilderberg Group from reading
Westbrook Pegler.
So here's some fun stuff about Westbrook Pegler. He was a columnist in the 50s and 60s.
Well, if I am from what I can see right now, just on the screen, this is a. In the 50s or 60s, this was an older white man with the name Westbrook Pegler. Mm-hmm. So I assume he was very progressive on race issues.
Pegler hated FDR's New Deal and was aggressively anti-union. Quote, Pegler compared union advocates of the closed shop to Hitler's goose steppers. By the 1950s, however, Pegler was showing some nostalgia for the Third Reich. His proposal for smashing the AF of L and the CIO was for the state to take them over. Quote, yes, I would, yes, that would be fascism, he wrote, but I, who detest fascism, see advantages in such fascism. Which is great. He advocates fascism.
That's not, I'm not fascist, but.
Yeah, yeah, but I.
That's not okay.
But they are unions.
Look, I hate, I can't stand racism in any form, and I think it's a terrible idea, but if the government were to take over black people, that would be fine.
It's funny you bring up racism. In November 1963, at the height of the civil rights movement,
gonna be good.
He
not
wrote,
be a
quote,
win.
It is clearly...
this isn't going to be a win for me, Dan.
It's clearly the bounden duty of all intelligent Americans to proclaim and practice bigotry.
That's
weird.
That's a strange thing to say.
He embraced the label racist, quote, a common but false synonym for Nazi used by the bigots of New York. Which is something that the alt-right says now.
Wait.
That's an argument that the alt-right has co-opted now. He was making that in 1950.
So he's doing the only racist call you racist kind of thing.
Totally. He's a progenitor
God.
Of that. He's way ahead of the curve.
Let's kill him.
He also had a habit of calling Jews geese because they hiss when they talk, gulp down everything before them, and foul everything in their wake. Ha
ha. I mean... That's probably not how you should go about that.
It's not good for a column.
Also, you can't just make that up.
So
you can't just be
no,
like,
Jews
what
do
is he,
hiss.
What is he trying to be? What is he trying to be? He's starting a meme. He's trying to be an iconoclast. Fuck you, man.
Well, it's interesting. Actually, his anti-Semitism has a very easily traced back beginning. Uh-huh. It turns out that his anti-Semitism was based almost entirely on a 1949 libel case brought against him by journalist Quentin Reynolds, who he accused of lying and being immoral and a coward.
Right.
So he was very...
I never said that. I just said that I hated Jews. How dare you, sir? How dare you say such libelous things?
He was very much guilty of libel, and the court found him guilty. And he lost the case along with $175,000 in 1949, which is the largest settlement or largest punitive damage ever at that point for a libel case.
Fuck
because
yeah.
They found that he had malicious intent.
Fuck yeah.
So the lawyer.
Fuck you, Pegler.
The lawyer in the case was a guy named Louis Kneser, who was Jewish. And Pegler viewed the circumstances as, quote, the Jewish world versus Pegler. Again, a reminder, Pegler was very guilty of libel. So, columnist Haywood Brooks.
These Jews always making me follow the laws.
So he ended up working for King Features, which was owned by Hearst Publishing.
Well, definitely not anti-Semitic then.
He was fired by them in 1962 because he gave a speech that took the piss out of the Hearst family. He started screaming about how they were a bunch of assholes and it was a kiddie toy and soda fountain
yep.
company and all this.
Yep.
So they fired him. And then he began writing for The American Opinion, which was put out by the John Birch Society. But he was
boy, if you say all those words together in a sentence, it makes me unhappy.
This is going to make you weirdly kind of happy, maybe. Just because it's so crazy.
So wait, he was too crazy for the John Birch Society.
He got fired by the John Birch
yes!
Society.
Yes! All right. Well, now that I know that we're dealing with world-class crazy, now I'm back on board.
They asked him to stop writing for him because he's too extreme. So anyway, there's one quote that I found by this guy, columnist Haywood Brown, who wrote about Westbrook Pregler, that I thought this quote was really fascinating.
Uh-huh.
Quote, "The tragedy of J. Westbrook Pegler consists of the fact that by nature he is not the man he pretends to be.
He is in fact naughty by nature.
His native sympathies are wide and deep. When he's aroused about some ancient wrong, he can be more eloquent than any newspaper man I know." The point of that,
Kay.
It just reminds me of Alex. He's not the man he presents himself to be. Whenever he gets aroused by native, the superstitions and ancient wrongs, he ends up being super eloquent and having a great talent that is just false.
Right.
So anyway, I read that and I thought, hey, that's my boy Alex.
It sounds like Westbrook Pegler was an asshole.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the history tracks with that.
Yeah.
And so the idea that he was writing about...
Do you have any of his columns? I bet they're horrendous.
I couldn't find any complete columns, but I found a lot of excerpts of them.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's a lot of that bigotry in there.
Right.
But it's interesting. He transformed over time. Like, after that 1949 lawsuit, he got fucking way worse. Before, he voted for FDR the first time around.
Uh-huh.
And had, like, some inclinations towards moderacy.
Right.
But that all went away. It's weird. It's crazy stuff. He even advocated against anti-Semitism in World War II times. Like, he wrote columns that allegorically talked about how, like, he...
Well, yeah, but he wasn't advocating against anti-Semitism. He was advocating against how everybody was doing it. Like, you can't be practicing that form of popular anti-Semitism. He was the first guy who was like, dude, I've been doing this the right way. You guys fucking, what, this pissy little bullshit anti-Semitism?
Yeah.
Oh, just a genocide? No.
That
fuck
petty,
you.
Petty ass
We're
shit.
We're going farther. We're building time machines. We're not going to genocide anybody. The Jews are never going to have existed in the first place. That's some real anti-Semitism right there.
That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Pegler level.
Absolutely.
So anyway, the fact that he was writing about the Bilderberg Group in 1950 or whatever doesn't really... whatever he was writing isn't true. So the idea
okay.
that it turned on Jim Tucker to go on a 27-year crusade to find out nothing and write fan fiction about them makes me incredibly sad. It makes me so bummed out.
How is Jim doing?
He's dead.
No, I mean, well, like, okay, at the time of this.
No, he was dead at the time.
He was
no,
dead.
He's
when
dead
did
now.
He die?
He's dead now. I don't remember. Like, but
do
if you watch documentaries
felt...
with him, he's chain smoking and right. drunk half the time.
Yeah, I know. That sounds great.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Says the guy who just finished a cigarette and was about to crack a beer.
He wrote two lengthy columns about how approximately 100 leaders of international finance, heads of state,
he's got a glass of whiskey in
public
that hand.
Officials were meeting behind armed guards and closed doors on Jekyll Island, sealed off.
Oh.
Jekyll Island?
What are these powerful
Federal Reserve
doing?
Type
and
nonsense.
Why is it so secret?
That story.
Why do they have armed guards outside?
That book,
why is it sealed off?
The Beast of Jekyll Island.
The newspapers totally ignore it. Not a word. Total blackout in the United States.
This man makes me so sad.
Since then, I've never stopped pursuing
it's a nice hat, though.
Bilderberg or the whole international
That's
gangster organization.
That is not a
led by Rockefellers and Rothschilds.
That hurts me.
As they manipulate the world for their own selfish interest.
Such a bummer.
Jim, you've been waiting on the list. You normally get it on the first day. You haven't gotten it. We're told it might come in today. How important is that list?
So important.
It's absolutely essential, although identifying people outside, as we always do, is important too, to find out who is not on their own list.
That's how we practice photography.
In recent years, someone from Europe has sent a machine copy with a letterhead and so forth without identifying himself. So far, I haven't heard from him.
Got that license plate there.
A sexta. That
well,
was so great watching him get into the car footage.
Name in 1954, their
out.
First meeting as Bilderberg. At the Bilderberg Hotel, it's a little bit like Shakespeare's As You Like It. They say to Shakespeare, what do you want to call this book? And he says, As You Like It, meaning...
That's so
that's
not true.
That's not how that...
That's
don't,
not true at all.
Don't.
It's very clear
no,
what As You Like It is,
no,
is named after.
Jesus Christ.
He's just making up lore.
Why are you doing that?
It's so clear that...
Well, I mean, fuck it. You're already making up everything else. Fucking go for broke.
The intention...
Shakespeare said...
The intention of As You Like It is like, you can take this play however you want to, because it's in...
It's literally As You Like It.
It's in the epilogue of the play.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to
Shakespeare
call
was not huge on subtlety.
So no. One of the,
it's not
of
a random name.
No.
As You Like It, and the title has nothing to do with the play. So that's how the Bilderberg came by their name.
It's named after the hotel they met.
Now they had
it's named
been
after Shakespeare's As You Like It.
For half a century, the moneyed class had been meeting. But they decided they have to meet systematically every year, well planned in advance, in addition to many other smaller meetings throughout the year.
This is great footage.
So
we're
good.
Just driving around.
Something I
this is like an episode of Cops where everybody is just bored.
Something I don't know if they cover is the fact that they always, like the Bilderberg Group always meets at a hotel that has a golf course.
Well, yeah.
And it's like, no, but that's not because they play golf. It's not because they get together and just have recreational activities.
It's because golf is the metaphorical symbol for Satan.
Right.
Everybody knows this.
Absolutely.
That's why Rory McIlroy is the devil.
Indeed. I think we proved that at Bilderberg 2012.
I'm just glad I remembered a golfer not named Tiger Woods.
Vijay Singh.
Bubba Watson. Why is Vijay Singh coming out of nowhere?
Because I liked him. I thought he was cool. It was
okay.
A good name. Anyway, right. Let's get back to this.
Okay.
This is a right turn, Jim?
Nope. Let's see if it starts.
Essential footage.
The riveting. Are you sure we're going in the right direction footage?
I would have made
some
jobs.
This is the global government. They are setting the world agenda. Inside right now, they're deciding on whether or not there will be a war with Iran.
Citation
they're deciding
needed.
Whether or not taxes will increase, whether oil prices will be suppressed or increased.
We're deciding on whether to go to
there's
KFC.
Much more on the agenda that we'll be finding out in
the
fullness
of
time.
Hat. Keep
but
track
those
of
are three real. Items that are heavy on their list this year.
He's got one hat.
It's a good hat.
That's liable. We've been over this. Alex
this is Jim Tucker, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. 27 years covering these crooks.
Whoa.
The media said he was crazy
nothing.
And didn't exist.
Why are you guys shaking his hand?
120 of the world's most powerful men.
Not necessarily said it didn't exist. It was more
heads of state from Europe.
I'm not going to talk to you about that.
High officials, United States government, Treasury, White House, State, Defense. They're setting the world agenda now.
Okay.
The reason they want secrecy is because they're doing evil. Evil is done under the cover of darkness.
That's an assumption.
Good works are done in the sunshine.
That's a trite, nonsense aphorism. A lot of secret things are done in private.
Hi, how you doing?
Or a lot of good things are done in private. Excuse me.
Well, Jim has
a lot of private
you.
Things are done in evil.
Okay, private property. Sure. It's a public sidewalk. Oh, yeah, we are cooperating.
Thank you. Right onto the sidewalk.
Yeah, there's no implication that we aren't cooperating.
Right onto the sidewalk and stay there, please.
Sure, yeah, thank you. Jim has a question for you.
Again, I need you to stay right on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
We actually checked with the city. The property line's actually right here.
Also,
that's good.
Cool.
Property line's actually right here.
Cool. All right, dude.
A lot of mustaches.
We got a call from the head of security that you were being a dick, so we're just going to push you a little bit.
We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. David Rockefeller.
As is now becoming a pattern.
So we've got a quote on screen that says a lot of words, and boy, they have the new world order in them. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
There's a big crisis. Crisis doesn't sound like
a good
thing.
We need the
right one. We need the
right
crisis.
Which implies that, like, we're going to maybe do it.
We're going to make a war. Yeah. We're going to manufacture.
Problem, reaction, solution.
We're going to manufacture.
The Hegelian dialect.
That is, it's a great quote, and now that you've got that quote from David Rockefeller.
Man, it's
100% sure that it's from David Rockefeller.
Damn it.
We know that everything that Alex has said is true. Dan, confirm that right now.
So this is a quote that's gone around on a bunch of conspiracy sites pretty much forever
Because he said it. Go ahead, Dan, confirm it right now.
What Alex is doing here is the part of a larger quote that's gone around on conspiracy sites. And it's the present window of opportunity during which a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built will not be open for long. We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis and the nations will accept the new world order. This is not real.
No.
This is an almost entirely fake quote.
Oh, no.
There is a video of David Rockefeller giving a speech to the Business Council of the UN. And this is the actual quote.
The BCUN.
Mm-hmm. Beacon. This is the real quote. This present window of opportunity during which a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built will not be open for too long. Already there are powerful forces that work that threaten to destroy all of our hopes and efforts. That's
very different.
That part.
That's a very different quote.
The part that Alex is quoting is entirely made up. It's just.
I feel like it's not the same thing.
It's just fake. And you know what's one of the funniest things is that the entire video of David Rockefeller's speech, which doesn't include this, you can find it on InfoWars.
Edited.
No.
Edited out.
No.
InfoWars edited it out. It's too good.
They
it's
damned
too good.
Themselves.
It's too good to have in that video. You got to save that heavy hitting for this.
That would
the
be,
end game.
That
the
would be like, taking
enslavement.
Down the Georgia Guidestones. You need
exactly.
to keep that quote.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You keep it mysterious. This is a completely fictionalized, fabricated quote. And Alex Jones's own website debunks his claims. And again, like I said, in the bibliography, needs citation.
Wow.
Because it does. And you can't find one because it's not a real quote.
This is hilariously bad.
Embarrassing.
This is pathetic.
This is a disaster. Like, there's
Well, it's a disaster, Dan, so we're at 32 minutes and it's already a disaster. I assume this is only going to last for another 15 to 20, right?
Sure. Yeah, probably.
Oh, no, it says this documentary is 2 hours and 20 minutes long!
So, David Rockefeller and the Grand Black at the...
We might not survive
hotel.
This.
Who is this
and
kid?
They have
no idea.
Have no bodyguards. One of my friends shouted, "Hey, Rockefeller!" And
Looks
he
like
turned
a penguin.
Back, yeah. And he was afraid.
Kid, you should be trying to get
Renee.
Laid.
I'm from Manitoba.
Don't be at the Bilderberg
about 26
meeting.
Hours to get here.
It's mostly dudes.
Just to show my,
yeah?
That I'm against the Bilderbergers, just to fight for my freedoms, fight for my rights.
Get them.
Make sure
but
that
I
my
love
children
these
can grow
shell
up
necklaces.
In a free country.
My name is Daniel Estrelin, and I've been doing this for the last 15 years. I'm from Canada. I'm very proud of my country because, as you can see, there are a lot of people covering the Bilderberg Conference. Last year, it took me 14 and a half hours to get to Munich. I was pulled off the plane in Milan. I was pulled off the plane in Munich. They interrogated me 4 hours in both places. I was able to call a friend, a journalist in Rome, as a result of his presence and others, calling the Foreign Ministry Department in Italy, they backed off and they let me go.
Everyone seems to have that story in their background of like, oh my God, they tried to stop me from reporting on this.
Of course, but you can't stop the truth, Dan.
And none of it can ever be verified.
Dan, have you ever tried stopping the truth?
I have not.
Can't do it.
No. That's a good point. I would never even try. So Daniel Estulin, he's been following Bilderberg for 15 years, 12
right.
shy of Jim Tucker.
These guys, man.
So,
how do you think they feel about what they're doing?
They got a good scam going.
Like it has to be their crowning, like, everything else in my life is going horribly, but at least I have this.
I like this freeze frame, by the way.
Oh yeah, that dude looks pissed.
No, because what they do is they do the same stuff that Alex did originally, which was like shill survival products and stuff like that,
yeah.
or gold on their blogs and stuff like that.
That's annoying.
So they make a decent living off just trying
that's
to create this sense of fear, or they write books that are super sensational, like Daniel Estulin did.
Right.
So he has been reportedly covering Bilderberg for 15 years, yet
so
miraculously
long.
He's never actually come out with any real information.
Hard to get.
It's mostly just official sounding sentences, speculation, and every now and again he references a document to make it seem legit.
Heard about that before.
He wrote a book called The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. In a review of the book for the Seattle Times, Bruce Ramsey said, and I quote,
almost as good as the first Harry Potter.
The method here is to initiate the reader into a special group of in the know, of mixing facts with assertions so that casual readers won't tell them apart, and to draw lines between A and B when A is the person you know you want to impeach and B is a known wickedness. So all you're doing is speculating, throwing around random nonsense,
right.
and tricking people into associating things in their head.
I know being a Nazi is bad, but I agree with all the things that Nazis do, but I know it's bad. So I'm going to call this guy who doesn't do all the things of a Nazi, but I know Nazis are bad. So I'm going to call him a Nazi, even though I really like Nazis. Mm-hmm. Like I'm super cool with them, like their white supremacy. That's super cool.
Yeah.
But this Rockefeller guy, he is a Nazi. He's such a Nazi.
So also Daniel Estulin has some problems with his sourcing on stuff. Some of the sources quoted in his book, The Truth About the Bilderberg Group.
Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement.
Might as well be.
Yeah.
They include passages from the far-right anti-Semitic American Free Press and The Spectator, the place that
the
Jim
American
Tucker
Spectator?
Writes for.
Yeah.
And also he quotes a guy named Georgios C. Hatton, whose bio on his own website begins.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Jordan, get ready for this.
Hold on. Let me get prepared
for this.
So
he quotes this guy, Georgios C. Hatton, about how Prince Barnard was a Nazi.
Oh, you mean Georgie C.?
Yeah. The reality of the prince is that he was a member of this Nazi organization that was basically just a riding equestrian club for really rich people to sort of ride out the war. It was one of those things, like, you shouldn't have done that, but after the war, he did a lot of anti-Nazi efforts, and he hasn't since.
I mean, if the worst part of your association with Nazis is riding horses, I guess that's fine.
Yeah. I'm not comfortable with it, but the idea...
I would prefer you didn't ride Nazi horses, but I guess if you're just riding horses, you're still riding horses.
In terms of, like, really benign things that happened during the Holocaust, like, you joined some organization to give you stature and have people leave you alone.
Right.
That sort of thing, while not hurting
right.
people. I think it's not the right thing to do, but it's not evil. And I think you have
yeah.
to give a pretty wide berth to people in the middle of world wars.
Yeah.
To
yeah,
some
yeah, yeah.
extent.
Okay. So his plan was essentially like, oh shit, the whole country is going to garbage. I am not anti-Semitic, although maybe he was. But if I
his
was
his post-war efforts have shown him to not be.
Right. If I'm in that situation and I got the money and somebody's like, okay, you can either be part of the Nazi party and you can start running things and have people doing the whole
polo
murder stuff.
Oh.
Or
I thought you were
you
doing
could
a polo
learn,
stick.
You could learn horse dressage.
Right. Right. It's along those lines. But anyway, this guy, Georgios C. Hatton, is talking about how the prince was a evil, evil Nazi.
Super
and,
evil.
And Daniel Estulin quotes him as a source on that. Oh. Now, I'd like to read you Georgios Hatton's biography from his own website.
Okay.
Strap it in.
Okay.
I am Georgios Ceres Hatton, Commander-in-Chief, Earth Project
no!
Transition. Pleiades Sector Flight Commander. Intergalactic Federation Fleet, Ashtar Command, Earth Representative to the Cosmic Council and Intergalactic Federation Council on Earth Transition. You may call me Hatton. Let there be no misunderstanding of who I am in all capital letters. I come in this portion of the fourth dimensional project commander in charge of Earth transition. It goes on a long time.
That.
But it's all that.
Is a fucking Yes concept album is what that is.
That's the guy.
That's bananas.
Who Daniel Estulin is using as a source about Prince Barnard and his past as a theoretical Nazi.
So we're on solid footing is what you're trying to say.
Also, fun little piece of trivia. Space Commander, yes. Georgios Hatton.
Yes.
Also,
hold on.
I can call him
Hold
Hatton.
On.
You said I can call him Hatton.
I believe you forgot his full title, though.
It's too long.
He is, what is it?
Commander-in-Chief Earth Project Transition Pleiades Sector Flight Command Intergalactic Flight Federation Fleet Ashtar
so can
Commander.
He fly, though?
He can fly something. Also, one of the ways that he made money was, that he used to sell colloidal silver on his website.
Jesus Christ! These guys are all the guy! They're all the same guy!
That's the point I'm trying to make
God
with this show.
God damn it, Dan!
They're all the same
They're
guy.
They're all the same fucking guy!
You try and get away from it and go to like the crazy Project Camelot type stuff.
Same
this guy's
shit.
Camelot level.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all the same. They all sell this weird shit. They all have weird anti-Semitic
There
leanings.
Have to be, like, year-end conferences where all the shitty propagandists get together and, like,
yeah.
All right, well, yearly sales of colloidal blank are still going strong. We've got a pretty strong manufacturing base there.
You guys are scaring enough people. They're buying.
Yeah.
So he used to sell colloidal silver, and I say he used to because the FDA shut him down.
Well, good.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the kind of racket that Daniel Estulin is
yeah.
in. He is not a serious...
That and the ponytail racket.
He is not a serious person.
They basically told me that they'll keeping an eye on me 24 hours of the day.
Get that
caller down.
The
little hotel where we were staying at, Jim and I, out of the 20 rooms, 6 were occupied, 3 by the CIA and 3 by the German Secret Service.
He's just guessing
that's how
that.
Serious these people are, and that's how afraid they are of actually what we may be able to reveal and what we actually do reveal publicly about the Bilderberger.
I think they're
intent.
More afraid Daniel that the Estulin people you inspire will have guns and show up and kill them.
Because they almost certainly would.
Yeah.
Things in Europe and North America for more than 15 years. His book, Club Bilderberg.
Look at these dicks.
Has been translated into more than 20 languages and is a global
Great
bestseller.
Great cover. Great cover. So now, that's a great cover.
Now, Alex is pimping the exact book that I just told you includes, as a source, the Commander-in-Chief Earth Project Transition Pleiades Sector Flight Command Intergalactic Federation Fleet Ashtar Command Earth Representative to the Cosmic Council and Intergalactic Federation Council on Earth Transition.
Yes.
So that's great.
Yeah. It's got a great cover, though. It's a great cover.
Not a bad cover. That's the Jim Tucker's hat of cover.
Kissinger is always a key participant. Here you see the president of the CFR,
what?
Richard N. Haas.
Yeah, his name actually has one more S at the end.
Boy, you know what I wish? I wish if they could just do one thing, it would be to point out how all of these evil-looking dudes are also straight white old dudes.
That's not in Alex's best interest.
It feels like it's... The big theme that I'm seeing with all of these pictures is... It's a bunch of straight white dudes who look evil as fuck.
Also, this guy, like I said, he misspelled his name. He has one more ass in it.
Yeah.
What a dick. Alex.
Followed by Vice Chairman of Rothschild Europe, Franco Barnaby, who is speaking with Henry Kravitz.
Feels like it's not
and behind
that
him
way.
Barnaby.
Is Richard Holder.
That's actually Lenny
former
Kravitz.
Former U.S. Ambassador
he
to the United
away.
Nations.
From Alex.
The head of Daimler Chrysler, Jürgen Erich Schrimp, arrives
Shrimp.
By helicopter. Here, the owner of the
this
Washington Post, Donald Graham, escorts Indra Nui, the head of PepsiCo.
Indra Nui!
Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, whose father, Prince Bernhard, founded Bilderberg, is a leading figure in the group. Of course, globalist kingpin, David Rockefeller, seen here with his bodyguard, James Ford,
what?
Always attends.
The
then newly appointed
fucking...
World Bank chief, Paul Wolfowitz, is photographed at Bilderberg 2005.
Straight
it has been
white
reported that
evil.
Wolfowitz had attended previous meetings, while still the Deputy Secretary of Defense, a violation of the Logan Act.
Hey, do we know anybody who has violated the Logan Act? Dan, do we know anybody who's violated the Logan Act? Dan, do we know anybody who's violated the Logan Act?
I can't think of any, but I know that if we did know some, Alex would be really critical of them.
Oh,
and he wouldn't say that the Logan Act doesn't really matter and it's a non-existent law because Michael Flynn did violated the Logan Act.
Hates it when people violate the Logan Act.
Yeah, he's real serious about it back in this documentary. He doesn't seem to really care about it all that much.
Biggest issue in the world.
Under the Logan Act, it is a felony offense for any member of the federal or state government to meet with members of a foreign government without the express authority and authorization of the president or Congress.
But that's not all of it. There's more to it than that.
Yeah.
But citizens not talking to
Put
foreign
simply,
governments.
Put simply, it is illegal for members of the government to meet secretly behind closed doors with foreign power
Adamantium
brokers
is also
due to the problems of corruption and espionage that it breeds.
Recovery.
For this reason, many prominent politicians attend, but their names do not appear on the official list.
What?
Despite the Logan Act, the governor of New York's name, George Pataki, does appear on the list.
What?
We were able to catch the governor.
I actually didn't look into this. I'm not entirely sure. A governor isn't a federal position, right?
No,
it's
not.
It's a state position.
It's pretty much exactly the definition of it.
It's the head of the state government.
Yeah.
You're not a federal official.
No.
Interesting.
Hold on. Let me tell you something crazy about America. They're different. The federal and the state governments, they're different.
You think Alex would have a robust appreciation of that?
He would really know a lot about that.
So this
1648, David Rockefeller.
I think those numbers are just flipping through.
Oh, okay.
Just pay careful attention to this footage because you're going to see it like three fucking times.
All right.
King with David Rockefeller at Brook Street.
This guy.
He should be wearing
George
a hat.
Pataki walking across the car.
Pataki was
so many members inside Brook Street reported to us that Hillary Clinton attended for half a day. Several armored limos with diplomatic plates did arrive with police escorts and offloaded their passengers in the underground parking garage out of the sight of the press.
But there's no light there.
Former World Bank President James Wolfensohn sardonically stared at our cameras.
Sardonically.
That's the only way to stare at InfoWars cameras, though.
Yeah.
I would be so sardonic.
The fact that they're being exposed.
Well, I'm sure they are. I mean, look at the
I'm just a regular man with a hoodie. I'm sure
they
are.
They don't want even anybody to be here, so I'm sure they're you know, and that's why we're here to try to expose them.
Do you think that they were angry that they were on the front page of the local paper today? You think they're in there reading it right now, Jim?
Nope. Yes, I don't think they're happy about it.
I don't think they care.
They're probably
nothing at all. No publicity. They prefer absolute secrecy.
Then why do they release the note
every
year?
Yeah, you better look away. We're not your slaves. You don't know.
That's just how I'm going to. That's just what I'm going to do whenever a car drives by from now on.
Of course.
No, I've asked
we're not your slaves, anyways.
A slight variation of my name, and I don't know if I'll get it or not. Also, it could happen today. For the last 3 years. I get back to the hotel.
That's a better hat, Jim.
Way better. See that? Come on.
Not identified himself. I mean, I really,
it has a name, but I don't know it, and I apologize.
Not the source. I don't know the source myself.
Sounds offensive.
All I know is this Kerpon. That's a nice blade.
Yeah. That's a solid blade, too.
Makes nice memento.
I'd wear that as a hat.
Kerpon?
Yeah.
That's true.
Inefficient hat.
You think Chalabi?
Chalabi!
It looked like Chalabi. It was a fat guy. Yeah. That was Ahmed Chalabi?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Then they're really going to attack Iran.
They didn't.
Fake laugh.
I want to say that I did literally zero work into trying to confirm whether or not these people are the people they claim to be taking pictures of. Because I felt like...
That's a good point.
I'm just accepting all of them as, yeah, that's who they say it
if
is.
If it's a picture and you got a picture next to it, fucking fine.
It feels...
This one, we're not going to fight on this one.
No.
Because even then, what's the good if you're like, oh, and by the way, that picture that they're showing you right now, that's of Dave in AT.
I made the point of the Gavrilo Principe one because it's a drastic editing mistake.
Right.
And a lack of attention to detail.
For sure.
This, I don't care. I wish he wouldn't
over the
do
last
this.
Couple of years, they've been reeling with the amount of leakage that they've
on harassment.
So it's getting harder and harder. But again, it will never get too hard for us because of the sources that we have inside. Our top-notch sources.
Some of our sources include Space Command.
You don't have any.
people who are actually working for them, the Secret Service, the second layer, people in the Bilderbergers, the clerks, the administrative office, they are there. They, you know, they are our eyes and ears, and every time there's something out, we always get the information.
That does not sound true.
It's not.
That's
if you had any information, you wouldn't be there. It would already have been done.
That's the queen. If it was real. I thought he was saying that
it's the queen.
I thought he was saying it's the queen of England. He's talking about the queen of Netherlands.
Yeah,
so that's why
it's Queen Beatrix.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, that is not the fucking queen, because I thought he meant.
Queen Elizabeth. No, Beatrix is the best name so far in this entire.
The Secret Service guys,
Queen Beatrix. Come on,
the Bilderberg delegates, the staff, the cooks, the chefs. When they actually get to see and to hear what some of these nasty people are talking about, they're the first ones to look for us, and the first ones to make sure that we get the information from the meeting. We're very rigorous with information that does come out.
The scoring system is unfair.
Whenever you get a reference wrong, that's what's going to happen.
Confirm the sources, make sure that all the information checks out. A lot of the stuff, the Bilderbergers have planted information, make sure that you know this disinformation nullifies the accuracy of the
like
recording.
Like from Space Command?
Which is why we never publish the first thing we hear.
So they're going to put out information.
George Pataki walking again.
Uh-oh.
Same footage.
Oh, Pataki.
Reusing the exact same footage, but zoomed in weirdly.
Ah. He's going to go around that. Oh, he's doing it.
He is.
There's nothing more criminal than that shit.
This is so exciting.
Look at him go around there.
So exciting.
So much crime.
Definitely had to take the 20 seconds to replay that.
So much crime.
Politics,
there wasn't even talking over that.
Nope. Across the entire spectrum. And these decisions are made and taken by a very elite group of people behind closed doors this year at the Brook Street Hotel. We are not privy to these decisions. We're not allowed to know what they're talking about. But we'll definitely feel the consequences of these decisions over the next 12 months when events, which apparently by accident seem to happen, in fact have been planned right here this year at Brook Street Hotel between 8th and 11th of June.
What does it do when you get 120 of the most powerful people in the world getting together to have meetings with government officials? I mean, that's amazing.
A lot of condoms.
What I mean is that they're planning the corporate agenda. They're not planning the democratic human journey agenda, in my opinion. Mussolini had a definition, is when the interests
of the
corporation take completely over from
Jeremy Wright,
interests,
I believe.
And that's
I hate him.
He said it should probably be called corporatism.
I know.
Well, call it corporatism, call it fascism, call it neo-lib, neo-con. There's a whole variety of political words.
Just don't
on
call it late for dinner, you know what I'm saying?
All right. Start
I didn't
with,
get that reference.
Bah,
plus
but
five.
What they are describing is the complete end of democracy, the end of what matters to people, the end of what happens to the human journey. And
the irony of all this kind of talk is that when you actually go and read the documents from like the Club of Rome or the Council on Foreign Relations, one of the things they stress constantly is the idea of the need for informed populaces and the need for public consent to do things and stuff like that.
Which is also one of the things that he says is what they need you to. They need you to.
But he's also saying that they're trying to take that away.
Right. But at the same time, he's in his narrative of them. That's what they have to do. The reason he can find it in the white papers is because they have to let you know
that they're trying to rob you.
They're trying
of it?
To rob you, and you have to consent to that. That's... So as he is saying that they're trying to take away your consent, he is also saying that they have to have it.
This is a schizophrenic game that's no fun.
Exactly.
You can't live in that headspace.
It's like
it's the definition of poorly read documents and paranoia.
Well, the one thing that I understand about the romance of this is that Alex gets to feel like he's living in his own spy movie. Like the
William
book
Travis?
Writer. No.
Colonel Travis? It's just like that. He's created his own destiny.
No, that and the guy, who's the guy with
Daniel
the ponytail?
Esselin?
Yeah. Like, all that guy is really doing is like, I am writing my own spy movie. Like, I'm writing a spy novel.
Or
and
Carrie
I'm
Cassidy
just,
at Project Camelot.
Right. Yeah. I'm just putting myself as the main character and then living it. Like, that's a interesting concept, like not a lot
as,
of people
as art as a performance art concept interesting as a thing that actually really damages a lot of people's lives.
Oh, totally.
It's really, really fucked up.
But what else would you describe performance artists as?
Well, I fine.
Yeah.
For that reason, I think this is revolting.
You remember whenever River Phoenix did Walking Phoenix
stand up against the Bilderberg group that is attempting to get rid of the sovereignty of the United States.
My man got a bullhorn.
The truth of your world
Who
government has
that?
Now been exposed. We know you are ruthless. We know you
oh
are evil.
Oh, my God.
That David Rockefeller to the Roth.
Show that. Pause on that fucking.
The article about Alex Jones having a megaphone.
He jerked off to that so many.
That might be a prop.
That
might be a prop article.
His bed is entirely made up of that article as many times as he could find it.
Yeah.
Child,
because he looks dope
here,
too. He looks awesome.
The Queen of the Netherlands. To all of you, we tell you, you are not our queens. You are not our kings. You are not our gods.
You're not in the Netherlands.
We do not belong to you. We are not your slaves. We stand as free humans have stood since the beginning
this
of
is like
time
a week later
against the strong men, against the thugs, against the bullies.
There seem to be many people there.
There is nobody there.
We will defeat world taxation. We will defeat your control grid. God is on our side.
Why?
I stand before the creator of the universe. And I ask the creator of the universe, as our founding fathers did in 1776, to lead, guide, and direct us.
You're in Canada. But hold on.
As our founders of Canada did in 1776, I call upon God. I feel like he does not have a solid grasp of how 1776 happened.
Mm-mm.
And to give us the power and the foresight and the understanding and the will to stand against your entire agenda, including your final plan of world population reduction of 80% that Henry Kissinger penned in 1973.
So now, this is going to be a very big piece of Alex's cosmology.
Let me sum up what he just said right there,
real quick. America.
Here's how it goes. I just don't understand. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's time to pray.
What do you think about Kissinger writing that 80% of the population should be killed in 1973?
I think Kissinger would probably try and kill 80% of the population if he had a chance. I think he was smart enough not to write it down.
Yeah, totally.
Like, he doesn't have a fucking refrigerator to-do list.
Yeah.
And if he did, kill 80% of the population would be on it, but he's not stupid enough to do that.
This is Alex Jones intentionally misrepresenting the global biodiversity assessment that was written.
Oh, I remember that one. We already we've touched on it already in hour four of this Alex Jones Endgame documentary.
It was in the 90s, and it referenced back to something that was written in the 70s, so Alex is mixing up his dates entirely. This is a quote from it. In contrast, in the industrial world today and among the large middle classes of the developing world, consumerism is all pervasive. Indeed, it defines what constitutes the good life. Whitaker and Likens, in a report from 1975, have estimated that an agricultural world in which most...
Hold on, before you go any further, how many words into that do you think Alex stopped reading?
Two.
Yeah.
In contrast...
Yeah.
So Whitaker and Likens in 1975, in a report they wrote, have estimated that an agricultural world in which most human beings are peasants should be able to support 5 to 7 billion people, probably more if the large agricultural population were supported by an industry promoting agricultural activity. In contrast, a reasonable estimate for an industrialized world society at the present North American material standard of living would be 1 billion. At the more frugal European standard of living, 2 to 3 billion would be possible. These figures represent not just the contrasting material demands of developed and developing societies, but also their contracting dietary habits. So Alex is misrepresenting this intentionally. It was Kissinger making a reference to a study from 1975 that discusses the two researchers, their
belief.
Even then,
a really, really wrong study from 1970.
It's not strictly accurate, but the point of it, is still salient and should be taken into account. And what it's discussing is the carrying capacities for different modes of consumption. More than anything else, the reference that was made in this, biodiversity assessment, when viewed in the proper context, is more than anything a critique of modern American levels of consumption. More to the point, the quotes that Alex constantly uses to make this argument are just made up. The idea that...
But even then, it's wrong.
But in no way in the biodiversity assessment does Kissinger or anybody else say that you should kill 80% of the population just because they're saying that the carrying capacity for the entire world, if the entire world were consuming at the rate that North Americans do, that would be 1 billion.
If the entire rate were consuming or throwing everything away that the way
right.
Americans
well,
do...
Well, take that into account.
That's kind of the situation there. Like the... It's not, look, as much as I want everybody to die, population is not the issue that we're facing right now. It's only an issue because we have such huge income inequality. Because we have nations that refuse to share anything. Like, if we fucking did anything towards anything along those lines, you'd find out that we have more than enough calories to support 10, 12 billion people.
Right, right.
It's just that we don't fucking do it because some people gotta be rich.
Yeah, that is that's one way of approaching the problem. Other people approach the problem in terms of, if there were much more caloric availability and there weren't tons of people who were trying to hoard riches and wealth, you would end up with a massive boom in population, and eventually you would get to the point where it was an issue. So I think it is still reasonable to look at the population issue as a preemptive concern. But be that as it may, the report...
Sounds like you want to kill 80% of the population, dude.
I don't, and neither did Kissinger. The point is that the biodiversity...
One of those remains to be seen.
Me? Because I can prove that Kissinger didn't. That's not what he was advocating for.
Can you?
For.
Is he dead yet? I feel like he's not dead yet.
I feel like he's not either.
I wish he was
dead.
I have
no idea.
I want him to be double dead.
No, because he met with Trump recently.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, man.
Hey, Alex.
If only a meteor had hit both of those at the same time.
Hey, Alex, what do you think about that? What do you think about Kissinger, the guy you think wants to kill 80% of the population having meetings with Trump? What do you think about that?
We need to have like a Clue-style murder mystery house, right? Where we invite, like, you invite your Kissinger. You get Dick Cheney. He's invited too.
Sure.
You get Trump. And then at the end, everybody's dead.
Hmm.
I really don't care what happens in the middle or whether or not they all go to a house. I just want all of those people dead.
This is more of a reverse Murder on the Orient Express.
I would like them all dead.
Okay. That's been noted. The point that I wanted to make in
Thank you for putting that in the official minutes, Dan.
In the pause of this, the only point I really wanted to make is that Alex Jones is intentionally misquoting and misrepresenting this report.
Right.
That was only discussing the theoretical carrying capacities of different rates of consumption. And in no way was it prescriptive. Mm. It was descriptive in language. It was talking about studies that existed 20 years prior, not saying that you should do any certain thing.
Right. Alex, and I'm saying that Kissinger should be dead.
Fair enough. Let's make a haunted house.
Why do you put mercury in the vaccines?
Gotta be honest.
This is random shit. Why is he yelling all of this shit at a hotel?
Because he's got to keep his stature up.
This is weird. This is weird and sad.
I do like the audio, though. I like the sound
of
the guy in a
megaphone. No, it's so good. The one thing that they've done on this is great sound editing.
I wish this...
Everything else is garbage.
I wish this entire documentary was through a megaphone.
And a sodium fluoride in the water.
You're getting real specific.
Why do you put cancer viruses in the vaccines?
They don't. Oh.
Talk to their fucking bureaucracy. These guys don't.
I think the reason that he's doing this and why he had them take a picture of him with a megaphone for the paper, I just realized this, is probably because in waking life, he's riding around in a car with a megaphone.
Ah, I got you.
I think it's probably sort of capitalizing
kind of his,
on the...
Yeah.
At that point, because I don't think Scanner...
He's trying to build a brand.
I don't think Scanner Darkly had come out by this point. I think he also is screaming in a megaphone in Scanner Darkly.
He should always be screaming in a megaphone.
Quite frankly, I don't...
Spiritually,
he kind
he
of
is.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. The radio studio takes away a lot in the capabilities of megaphones.
Why have you used depleted uranium now
it'd be a
in
weird
four
thing
separate
to do.
Nations? You're arrogant. You have the sickness that elites have had throughout history in their literal and, in some cases,
God, he thinks this is his I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah. This is
what
William Travis letter from the Alamo.
Now. Jesus.
Your new world
These people
order
aren't even
will
interested.
Yep. Humanity will beat you.
Get him.
Get him. Is 1776.
Again, Alex stole that slogan from the European. He admitted it on the show.
Great round of applause,
guys.
The
elite organization and the way it works, the protocol of the meetings is the staff, after they're vetted out, they're told exactly how they're supposed to behave themselves, meaning that they can never address the attendees, they can never speak to them unless they're spoken to first, they can never look them in the eye. They have to approach them from the right side, the people who are
left-handed. You're just making this shit
up. People who are left-handed, they can never look them straight on.
Yeah.
And needless to say, all the information that is being spoken and during the conferences is under no circumstances allowed to come out. That's what they're told. They're threatened with not being able to find another job anywhere in the sector if they reveal any information to the press.
Oh, you know, the sector.
Nonsense.
Sector 17B.
Richard Holbrook.
Ambassador Richard Holbrooke thought the peasantry wouldn't recognize him if he took a stroll off the grounds of Brook Street.
Maybe you want to take a walk. I don't... Dude...
Well, it's a
Holbrooke
lovely day.
Holbrooke cackled when I told him that we
he
were
cackled.
Not his slaves.
He cackled?
See if you see a cackle.
We're not your slaves!
We're not your slaves, Holbrooke!
All right.
We're not your slaves!
I don't see a cackle. Don't hear a cackle.
I would have at least hoped for a middle finger.
Holbrooke, we don't belong to you!
He didn't even... Oh,
we're
man, I would have given
property.
Him one big middle finger.
Get back on the sidewalk.
Four.
We're free humanity!
Yeah, there he goes.
There he goes.
This is sad.
We got him. He was walking.
They really think they're proving something.
They really
it's
do.
It's baffling to me.
It's fantastic.
Got a nice shot of Alex's gut the at the time when he's jumping in that car.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
It was a gut shot.
So they're trying to find a way in through the back. Like, ah, shit, there's people over here, too.
It's such there's a, several rings it's a nice golf course.
Yeah.
The American delegation
we're
going to
sneak on through the ninth hole.
Protected by the CIA and a special division of the U.S. Army. The British delegation is protected by the MI6. The Israelis usually are protected by the Mossad.
That's where they would
the
go.
The Ottawa police, in this case, working for the security, they have very little. Actually, they don't have any information at all.
So everybody else gets CIA, MI6, and they just get the Ottawa police?
An elite
I don't know what he's saying.
Private firm.
Don't know why this matters.
Doing all the dirty work, such as shooing off the photographers and bothering the protesters. But, you know, that's
all those security people have been very nice to you.
They call that wet work. Shooing off off photographers.
Some years ago.
Being like, stay on the sidewalk.
You know, it's crept over a fence under cover of darkness and approached. The cops started yelling and pointing at me, so I ran with speed I didn't know I still had.
You don't.
And some shots were fired, but they were far above my head.
Easily
I mean,
debunkable claim.
But they were not really trying to kill me. Not
huge
when
if true.
Fired far above, 20 feet above your head.
Bilderberg was founded by David Rockefeller and the Rothschilds of Britain. And
what about Prince Barnard?
They're still the main powers.
What about Prince?
Baron Evelyn
Rogers
D.
Nelson.
What about Quincy Jones?
Sure.
For many years, Rothschild is still represented. You'll see them on the list.
Did you see the Vanity Fair article?
Somebody represented
Quincy Jones
Rothschild
came out and fucked David Rockefeller.
They are
Jim
the
Tucker.
Main powers behind Bilderberg. Dutch Royal Shell is part of the Queen's fortune.
Okay.
Of course, the Rockefellers have always had heavy oil interests. That was the original source of the their old money, of the old man.
So a lot of people who are closely aligned with you.
Jim just got the official Bilderberg letterhead list from his mole inside the Bilderberg group. Let's go look
the
at
mole.
It.
The mole.
Such an innocent time. You could just smoke in cafeterias.
Oh, this is when we learn he doesn't know how to read.
It's the second act twist.
He's not on the list.
No,
we positively identified Wolfensohn.
Yeah, he's on the list.
And him and Alex hug.
Yeah,
he also does
right
not
there.
Know how to read. It's beautiful.
But aren't there always people who
it's
want
not your fault.
Yep.
Over the years, it's not your fault, Tucker.
I get the reference. You don't
sometimes
get any points.
Ah, damn it.
People are not on their own list who have attended.
Now, I think what is very difficult for most people to understand is how such a small group of 125 men and a few women control a population base of 6 billion people. Actually, it's much easier than you think. These
how do I control all the hairs on my head?
Systemic methodology.
A lot of hairs. One
systemic
guy.
Methodology.
You take an
exactly.
apple pie and you slice this apple pie into lots of very small
slicing
pieces,
up that apple pie.
And you put in front of each one of these pieces your men or women of trust. And by controlling this individual, you control an entire organization. For example, if you take
logic, did you ever
this logic
like
would strictly work if you were just talking about
him,
countries.
This graphic is bananas.
You don't need to control.
Have you ever? This is like a brief. Like, have you ever played a Wing Commander, like that video game on the original PC?
And what he does.
This is the like sci-fi briefing technology they would use, where they just string a bunch of random letters and numbers across stuff
and seemingly connected ideas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The if you cut the world up into 24 quadrants, and then the quadrants are then cut up into four quadrants, and then those quadrants are turned into a half.
Western Hemisphere Union called the American Union. NAFTA is to be expanded into every country in this hemisphere.
You just look like a confused old man.
It will take on the role of the American Union. And only an educated, informed public can stop them in their tracks.
Or,
we went into downtown Ottawa and talked to locals to learn if they were aware of the elite.
Oh, this is great. This is good comedy.
Oh, are we doing some Man in the Streets?
This is good comedy.
Oh,
this isn't Mark
on.
Dice level, but it's...
Come on.
Look at this shit. Alex has no chops.
These are some great tracking.
Hey, guys, attention just for a second. I just need to tell you that a group just met here in Canada, and they're trying to get rid of your sovereignty, merging you with the U.S. and Mexico. See, it's not funny. I'm serious. And your news isn't going to tell you about this. This is deadly serious, so I'm just letting you know, and I'm telling you about it.
As they say, they are the guys that run the world. They make the decisions for we, and we just carry it out.
Sir, did you hear about the Bilderberg Group meeting here in town, the 120 most elite people in the world?
No.
Look at this.
You know, the elites meeting here in town right now. Have you heard about it?
What is happening?
120 crime bosses.
Leave them alone.
None of you heard of it.
Leave those people alone.
The
there are children there.
They're meeting right now.
How the fuck do you expect anyone
city,
to respond to you?
Around 10% of the people were aware of the New World Order agenda.
Why won't anyone talk to me?
When we traveled to Parliament, close to half of the people we randomly spoke to were informed.
I jammed my arm in between the doors, and they wouldn't let me in. It's a really overcast day.
It's going to end up happening. We don't want it, but it's going to happen.
What do you think?
Because the Bilderberg Group runs the world.
You have the Trilateral Commission that's also part of the Bilderberg.
I think they might be like
the United States, Europe, and Asia.
This might be plants.
But most of this is public knowledge.
Like a setup.
Nobody wants to believe that.
Yeah, but they're so
polite. Conspiracies.
They're Canadian.
That world leaders are already elected before they're voted on. So here we know that Bernard Lord is part of the Outer Circle. I was surprised to read that Harper addressed
where
that
are
group
the spider leadership?
In 2003. Because my understanding was nobody gets into politics without becoming part of the Bilderberg Group. And then you find out afterwards that that is the case, that they have...
Well,
why?
Well, Bill Clinton
would you
went
find
there
out afterwards, or how would you find out
back
afterwards?
In like 85.
And Blair, same thing. Who we think that we're electing as leaders have already been pre-picked for us. Whether it's liberal or a conservative, they're already part of the group.
They own all the horses in the race.
They own the horses, and I understand that, for example, in the United States, it's a one-party system with two factions.
Nice.
You think it's two different parties.
Oh, way to do it.
So it's like Bill Clinton constantly vacations with the Bushes, and they call him their son. And they...
I imagine part of that is politeness, and then I imagine another part of it is they have a unique life experience that no one else can share, in that they were presidents of the United States, and half of the public hated them. Like, can you imagine what kind of pressure that puts on a person? Like, fucking George W. Bush had to go into weird paintings for therapy.
Yeah.
That's what he
ended up with. And I'm furious that we allowed him to keep his hands.
Right. But the,
look,
the idea.
I don't want to talk about W at all.
That's fine.
I don't want to talk about W at all.
That's fine.
That piece of shit
fine,
can
stop.
Go fucking die.
Fine then.
Okay.
But the idea that they bonded in some way is not suspicious to me at all.
Oh,
like,
no, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
They actually staged all that in 92, and all that's come out. It's just all staged. They're not going to let trillions of dollars
slip
through
their
hands.
I don't know if that's true, but.
The good news is people are waking up, though. When you read human
look,
history,
crazy,
you study
you
it, all you see is elites trying to dominate, subterfuge, Machiavellian backstabbing. And somehow in the last 50 years, they convinced Westerners that the government's fine, can do no wrong, trust
the
them. How did this happen?
Not interested in this at all.
It's easy to lead sheep. I mean, people just follow. They don't want to believe these things will happen. No way. We'll just follow along with the norm. That's all. It's just makes it easier for everyone.
What's your view on losing Canada's sovereignty?
I like this country to stay as it is, and I love the United States to be there.
Back in Austin, the capital of Texas.
Great answer. Great answer.
Unaware of the nation's peril.
I like it, but I also like that. Things are liked.
Have you heard about the North American Union?
Not really, no.
Because it doesn't exist.
Oh, I don't watch TV.
No, I haven't.
Interesting. I was not aware of that.
I don't know exactly what you mean, so...
I don't think there's going to be a merger of the three nations.
Who no, is that not. Guy? Fuck no. This. No.
No.
I want a whole documentary on just what that guy was.
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have heard about it?
Yes.
After that big rally the other day, don't know about it?
I don't know about anything.
No, I have not.
Have you heard of the European Union?
I have, yes.
Are
it
you
exists.
Aware of the European Union?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because it exists.
Have you heard about the European Union?
Heard about them.
It exists.
Do you know about
Shave
the European Union?
No.
All right, well, you're
Europe,
not.
Anybody. 15-member group expanding.
A what?
15 nations of Europe shit. Merging in 2000.
That guy likes to burn trees.
You heard
For
about the American
For over 50
Union?
Years, the Bilderberg Group constructed the European Union by stealth
That's
under the guise
long.
Of trade deals.
Unreal.
Under the guise of... You could just use trade deals. You don't need a guide.
No.
You don't need a guide.
To complete the North American
just
Union.
Just build trade deals.
But this time... Superstate integration is on the extreme fast track.
Superstate.
International agreements like NAFTA, GATT, and APEC were just stepping stones in the formation of the NAU.
Or they weren't.
The North Baylor. American Union was officially born at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, on March 23, 2005. The leaders of the United States, Mexico, and Canada told the press that they were only meeting to discuss trade.
Maybe they were.
It soon leaked that a secret meeting had been held during the Security and Prosperity Trilateral Summit. The three governments had refused to release the secret agreement to the people.
Wait.
In September of 2006, their treasonous operation was blown wide open.
What?
From September 12th to September 14th in Banff, Canada,
hundreds
of elected and appointed government leaders from Canada, Mexico, and the United States met in secret. On the last day of the conference, someone inside the secret North American Union Forum leaked the agenda. The front pages of newspapers across Canada carried the story.
And Canada.com.
The Judicial Watch Foundation submitted Freedom of Information Act requests to obtain the full agenda and minutes of the secret assembly. Many federal agencies refused, citing national security. The foundation finally succeeded and did receive thousands of pages of documents.
That I'm going to flash
the
up very quickly.
Marked unclassified are the
they got the ones marked
of a
unclassified?
Shadow government ruling by bureaucratic and executive fiat. The
or,
pages chronicle an already operating
or
North American
a lot
Union.
Of these things
transportation,
could be detailing
law
trade agreements.
Agriculture, regulation, banking, manufacturing.
All of that could have to do with trade agreements.
Immigration. And
trade.
Even the military emerged with no input from the people or their elected representatives in Congress and Parliament.
We're currently merged.
One of the
Did
first items on their agenda was to stress how important it was that their
Joseph
plan
Farah,
quote, be carried out
guy
by
who
stealth.
Runs WorldNet Daily.
The controllers also talked about exploiting the public's fears of climate change to push a continent-wide tax to fund the new government.
So the carbon tax is going to fund the new world government.
Yes, we're going to get back to that in a little
Explain
bit.
Explain to me, though, why the current taxes wouldn't also be fine. Like, if our taxes... Like, okay, so...
Stupid question.
So...
Stupid.
North America has our taxes.
Right.
And we're doing all right.
Nah.
Canada has their taxes, and they're doing all right. Mexico has their taxes, and they're still doing all right.
They're doing...
So, like, why would we need a whole carbon tax to, like... Because couldn't we just do all the same taxes,
but then
just call it like
because
the same dude?
Because you need two governments. You need the fake government that you, like the all we all think this is our government.
Okay,
and then the other government.
Oh, okay. So we're not talking. We're talking about like a Men in Black scenario where like property taxes pay for police.
I sincerely think that Alex.
And then the carbon tax pays for interdimensional travel.
Dark programs.
Gotcha.
The secret space program.
Right. Of course.
That sort
of
shit. We'll get back to the carbon tax stuff in a little bit because he goes pretty hard on it.
If they are meeting
mm-hmm.
already,
yes,
all right, to talk about
trade agreements
and international, I mean, like rules of engagement, essentially, you know, like this
any,
is how
any,
we
any
can
time.
Talk to each other. These are the lines. These are why do they need to also have a secret meeting? Isn't that all the same meeting?
Mm, yeah. I don't know that what he's saying is true.
All right.
I don't know how you prove the negation of a secret meeting. Like, I can't prove a secret meeting didn't happen.
Well, it wouldn't be secret.
Could anyone prove that you and I didn't have a secret meeting? We've done a lot of shows together.
That's true.
It's nonsense. I don't endeavor to disprove negatives. It's impossible.
I'm just saying from a logical standpoint.
Oh, wait, no.
Because
prove a negative is impossible.
Disprove a
negative would just be confirm an
what about negatively proving a disproved negative?
Who cares? Let's not play a semantic game.
I'm just saying that my big frustration with a lot of these conspiracy theories always winds up being people going so far out of their way to do conspiracy looking shit when you could just do it like regular.
You mean those three countries having a
like
secret
meeting?
Yeah,
like going so far out of their way to do a secret meeting whenever it would be totally within the regular meeting rules to have that meeting.
Well, and that's where I suggest that maybe there weren't secret meetings.
Right.
And that maybe a lot of these documents were like not public documents.
Right.
That you could still FOIA them, but they weren't public documents. I see no real evidence that...
Anyway, so we just proved they had three secret meetings.
Globalist tool Robert Pastor.
Oh, I hate Robert Pastor because he's such a globalist tool.
Written by Jerome Corsi here. Just nice.
Incessantly paraded on the world stage.
That's
as
a great
the man
picture.
Behind the North American merger.
Whoa.
When he testified before Congress, he pushed the idea of a continental security perimeter that erases national boundaries and merges the security apparatus.
That's somewhat true. Robert Pastor did push for a North American Union, but his ideas were not acted upon.
The best way to secure the United States today is not at our two borders with Mexico and Canada, but at the borders of North America as a whole.
In fact,
that
the North American Command,
pretty accurate.
Based in Colorado,
yeah, that's not
Springs,
a terrible
Colorado,
idea.
Was clearly running the meeting in Canada. For the past decade, the Pentagon has been training with Mexican and Canadian forces and has openly discussed using
them
inside
the
United States
for
disasters and to quell
domestic
unrest.
The idea just occurred to them now?
There are already over 100,000 non-U.S. citizens serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. The Pentagon is now expanding its recruiting centers in Mexico, the Philippines, and Eastern Europe. Big city police departments nationwide are lobbying to change laws so they can recruit non-citizens to join the police force. What we are witnessing is a Red Dawn scenario in slow motion.
This is incredibly disgraceful.
Well, first
That's
off,
offensive.
Wolverines. Mm-hmm. Second, what? Huh? Wait, what? No.
No thanks. I'm not a person who's super into the function of the military and what have you. Alex's rhetoric is incredibly, it borders on nativist, xenophobic.
Oh, does it?
To an extensive degree. So right now, what we have in our service is 8% of the Navy is foreign born. 5% of all branches of active duty are foreign born. Approximately 65,000 immigrants serve in the armed forces, and 37,250 have become naturalized citizens since 2001. Our armed services include many people born in other countries and non-citizens, often working towards gaining their citizens.
That's kind of one of the big offers we have.
The rhetoric that Alex is putting forth here is incredibly disgraceful. And if you look at the police situation, I'm going to just read this quote here. Ali Nourani, executive director of the National Immigration Forum, said any immigrant authorized to work in the United States has already undergone a thorough background check and will undergo even more screening in the police application process.
Duh!
The security risk is a straw man, he said. This is about people who have gone through criminal background checks, who are meeting the very high standards that we set as a country to stay here and who want to serve and protect their communities. All this boils down to, from Alex's mouth, is incredibly thinly veiled xenophobia, white supremacy, and a blatant disrespect for people who are serving in our armed services.
It seems very simple to ask yourself this question. Would I rather have somebody who has fought and clawed and struggled their way to get to where they are joining the police force, or Derek, the asshole that I knew from fourth grade?
Mm-hmm. Derek sucked.
Which one would I rather have in the police force?
Derek was a dick.
I'm pretty sure if we had more undocumented immigrants in our police force, we'd be way better off.
Well, we don't have any undocumented immigrants
in our... But wouldn't we be better off if we did? I would prefer undocumented immigrants to be our police force, because then I know they're just as afraid as me.
Now that's gonna...
Like, they're forcing justice because... It needs to be done.
This is an interesting line. I'm going to not agree with you.
Okay.
And move forward.
No, it's a silly thought, and I enjoyed it while I had it. Now it is gone forever, and I never want to think about it again.
Oppress their domestic populations. When their coup by stealth was exposed, the three governments went into damage control mode. The Security and Prosperity Partnership quickly staged a show summit that was held in Ottawa, Canada in February of 2007.
It is the only way that we can achieve security and prosperity for our people is through this cooperation. We,
do you realize that we could have had Omarosa doing this?
Space, the North America. Racist. We've also had a chance as foreign ministers to talk about
Omarosa is probably more qualified than Nikki Haley.
Protesters who were upset about losing their countries and freedoms were not tolerated.
A couple of weeks ago, an Al-Qaeda supposed...
So ever, the Security and Prosperity Partnership has been signed without any sort of
parliamentary... Bye! Globalist publications have been open with their frustration that the population has not bought their latest PR stunt. As immigration inside the European and American unions accelerates,
superstates
themselves are being merged.
Non-disruptive.
Just flustered.
She's kind of like, hey guys.
On April 30th, 2007, a summit was held at the White House. The Security and Prosperity Partnership's secretive approach had alarmed the public. So this time, President Bush, German Chancellor Merkel, and EU Commission President Barroso hid their treachery in plain sight.
Thank the Chancellor and Josie very much for the transatlantic economic integration plan.
And for that, too, we need to develop a common market, common standards.
So this is indeed a very important agreement.
I wish half the presidents in my lifetime weren't fucking stupid.
The Transatlantic Economic Council to be a permanent body with senior people on both sides of the Atlantic that will look at all those issues in a concrete manner, in which way we can make it
very possible.
Move forward.
That's a hairpiece.
The BBC reported that the U.S. and EU had agreed on a single market.
So Alex is trying to present that as some sort of super nefarious thing.
Instead of just like a regular trade agreement?
We walked past this, so I just want to jump back to it really quick. One of the points he was trying to make and the idea that this North American Union and the EU are being created so they can be merged is really fucking stupid because it doesn't track at all. Literally every country that's in the EU.
Give me a reason it doesn't make sense.
Well, first of all, the North American Union doesn't exist. It's a hypothetical thing.
Okay.
Secondly.
We're going to discount that.
Secondly, every single country that's in the EU and would be in the North American Union are already members of the UN. So the idea that you'd have.
Understand.
Well, like the idea that you need to create these.
Even Luxembourg?
Yeah. The idea that.
What about Portugal?
Yes. The idea that you need to create these two things so you can merge them together.
What about Belarus?
Because he's going to bring it. Yes. The idea that you need to create these things to bring them together when all of the countries are already together in a unified global body is.
Right.
It's.
Doesn't
pointless.
Make a goddamn lick of sense.
No, it just doesn't track. But
no.
Now, this idea...
adding layers upon layers that don't need to be there.
This idea of the single market and all that, if you actually read that article, what it's talking about is the fact that the United States and the United Kingdom have a bunch of regulations and trade rules and laws, and you do need, when you're going to have trade agreements, you need to discuss those things.
Right.
And so what they decided to do was create a body wherein they could negotiate... the trade regulations that both sides have to come to a harmonious balance.
Right. We're discussing the plot of Star Wars Episode One,
more
and
or
this
less.
Movie is exactly as exciting.
To quote from the article, the pact is designed to boost trade and investment by harmonizing regulatory standards. The two sides agreed to set up an economic council to push ahead with regulatory convergence in nearly 40 areas, including intellectual property, financial services, business takeovers, and the motor industry. Because those are things that are regulated. excited.
Yeah.
Now, the reality is that what Alex probably, what's in the bee that's in his bonnet is that he doesn't think that anything should be regulated. And so he's actually trying to complain about that, but he knows that that's not a realistic standpoint to come
right.
from.
Well,
so
he because he doesn't. Like, he wants to say he doesn't believe anything should be regulated, but whenever something is unregulated in a way that does not benefit him, he's like, somebody should regulate that. Mm-hmm. That's everybody who's against regulations. They're fucking stupid.
Yeah.
By announcing a new economic community integration, they were simply repeating what had been done in America and the EU on a larger scale.
It's just continents.
The accord states that the two blocks will aggressively push regulatory convergence in more than 35 areas.
Regulatory
convergence. Over 35.
Regulatory convergence only comes around once every 80
education,
years. Did you know
mergers
that?
And acquisitions.
All the planets
also
regulate together.
To jointly push a global carbon tax.
Mm-hmm. We recognize that we have a problem with greenhouse gases.
We agree there is a global threat. It's a serious threat. We agree there is the need to establish a limit to greenhouse gases.
That.
We need to discuss the possible pricing of CO2.
He said it. Didn't understand it.
That's fair.
How can we translate this into a market economic compatible scheme?
We have agreed to establish a high-level group, a forum.
This EU-US result is translated
China
into the
which one of them is
debated
right
together
hair-based.
With the average countries.
I know one of them
China, South Africa, Brazil,
classic
among
three-card
others.
Monty here.
A global solution to a global problem.
Are they trading hair pieces?
Bilderberg succeeds, America falls. All the victimized countries lose their sovereignty.
Bilderberg is not a person. It's
Why
not, a,
are
it's
you
not
against
an idea. It's an
that?
Ideal. A very powerful group of people working
what?
Together.
I mean
and
it.
For the positions of ultimate and absolute power, destroying every constitution on earth. No matter how powerful the constitution is.
So why are you against it?
Alex misspelled undermine.
He said undermined? Oh, no!
That's a petty thing.
That's
but...
pathetic. He left it up?
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't... You leave it up? He wrote undermined?
Yeah.
Ugh. Mm. Oh, that's beautiful.
It's a little petty of
undermine,
me, but... Yeah.
With an E. Mm. That's so beautiful.
The nation is, that's what these people do.
Undermined.
The African Union arose out of the African
it's
Economic
like
Community,
for granted.
Shut up in the early 1980s.
All intents and
the
purposes.
African Union
yeah.
is financed
Ooh.
By a consortium of international
intensive
bodies,
purposes.
Governments, and corporations.
That doesn't mean anything.
The African Union Army serves as an enforcement arm for
Proved
the New
it.
World Order's exploitation of Africa.
Sold me.
That's really not, that's not fair.
Also, Tony Blair can totally go fuck himself too. I
sure,
hope he dies.
Sure.
I don't give a shit.
So the
I just don't understand why these guys are so obsessed with this nebulous concept of sovereignty. Like, what does that mean? Like, okay. So, they're gonna dissolve sovereignty.
Now we're doing this?
I don't know what, I don't
know
what it is.
A breakdown of sovereignty now?
I just don't understand what it is they think is so important about that.
Sovereignty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have any say in
it's
your
the
sovereignty.
Right of self-determination.
That's fine. That's a whole different thing. But if you're gonna pull this, well, they're dissolving everybody's sovereignty.
Right.
What exactly is that make, like, okay, so they're dissolving, what? Russia's sovereignty. Who gives a shit? Russia, the Russian people don't have sovereignty right now.
No.
With fucking us, what sovereignty do we really have, you and I, right now? Why would I give a shit if you dissolved South America's fucking, the entirety of South America is now just South America and there's no sovereignty or whatever? Like, why do I care?
Why do you care?
Why would they care?
I don't know.
The problem that I'm experiencing here is they are trying to have it both ways, wherein the government causes every single problem that we will ever have by just being a government.
Yep.
And at the same time, we need to defend against anybody not taking that government away from us.
Somewhat, yeah.
It doesn't make any fucking sense!
Now fuck the-
It doesn't make any goddamn sense! You can't have it both ways!
Fuck the federal government, but also don't you dare encroach on their ability
Exactly!
To- yeah, exactly.
What are you doing?!
The argument really only works if you don't pay attention to that. But
right.
then also it only works if you believe that there is this nefarious group behind the scenes that wants to get rid of the sovereignty so they can pull some sort of a scam and take
right.
over the world. And that just, the reality is that the evidence is not there for
right.
that.
But if that's your, if your argument is that, then you don't have borders.
No.
Then your concept of borders stops being well, it's the United States against blah. And it starts being, it's everybody who's not a globalist against everybody who is a globalist.
Right.
So then why are you obsessed with borders in the first place?
And that's why...
Borders are simply, by your own rules, another tool by which the globalists keep you from uniting with people who are against the globalists.
Because it's a bulwark against the globalists.
Ah!
You got to use words like that.
Ah!
I don't know. It's nonsense.
So stupid. It doesn't make any sense, Dan.
Of course it doesn't.
Dan, just make it make sense for me.
Well, the only way I can make it make sense is to tell you that it's about something else.
We're at hour 4.5 of this and I've already lost my mind.
Well, it's because it's about something else. It's not about that.
I know.
It's about...
I just can't look at Tony Blair without wanting to punch his fucking face in.
It's about white identity.
Yeah.
It's about hating others. It's about...
So if you were... So the only way to make sense of all of these...
archaic anti-Semitism.
Make sense of all of these often contradictory and nonsensical ideas is if you cut through all of the bullshit and you say, the people that you're against are globalists.
Mm-hmm.
Read non-white people.
You keep using Nazi propaganda.
The people that you are for are anti-globalists. Read white people. Within a certain space, and everybody else can go fuck themselves. So yes, sovereignty is very important to you because you want a white nation of people you know.
And you can control.
End.
You get to control and keep that way.
Yeah, the end.
It seems like that is a lot of it. Now back to this really quick.
Yeah.
He's talking about the African Union. He's saying that the troops of the African Union are only used to support globalist exploitation.
I heard that and then it escaped my brain immediately because that doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
Well, the second plank of the Charter of the African Union is, quote, to defend the sovereignty, territorial integrity, and independence of its member states. So that seems like a pretty big priority of theirs. Also, the African Union is it's not a perfect body, certainly, and that a lot of that has to do with the history of exploitation that the West has perpetrated against African countries.
Let's start.
And,
we're going to start with
The ignoring of atrocities that have happened in Africa. Just who cares? Fuck
either,
it.
Either ignoring them or out
exacerbating.
And out encouraging them.
Yeah.
Or, of course, exacerbating them.
But the idea that there are the troops of the African Union are a tool for globalist exploitation is just fucking stupid.
I think I would, now that you bring that up, I think I would be hard pressed to find an atrocity that occurred in Africa, that was even hindered by American influence.
I
think we're only on the wrong in Africa. I think we're batting a thousand.
There's probably some we don't know about. But
right.
at the same
Well, we supported the fucking apartheid government. That's for sure.
I have got, and so does Alex, apparently.
Yeah, no kidding.
I have a couple of examples where the African Union did great, though.
Like our Catholics supported Mugabe. Like. Yeah.
So, Nasingbe Ayadama, the president of Togo, died. His son tried to assume power. Protests by the African Union that were saying that this was a military coup and that under Togo's constitution, the Speaker of Parliament initiates new elections. They were able to force a new election to be held.
Right.
The son ended up winning, but at the same time, it was an upholding of the democratic process.
Well,
and that's
he had
great.
Name recognition.
In Mauritania, the African Union was able to force two coup-backed juntas into holding elections in 2007 and 2009 by suspending the country's membership in the African Union.
Nice.
They were able to use the international cooperation and the leverage that's implied by that to force military coup juntas into accepting the democratic process.
Crazy.
The African Union was able...
Sounds like they're destroying sovereignty, Dan.
The African Union was able to force an election in Mali in 2013 after a 2012 military coup.
And everybody got high.
There are plenty of examples of times when they aren't being used as globalist exploitation tools, but actually to reinforce democratic principles in states
do you
in
mean
Africa.
The reason they exist in the first place.
Right. So this
These unions don't just appear by globalist, like, it comes from a massive problem.
Mm-hmm.
The people are like, we gotta stop fighting these endless wars, guys. Maybe if we just chilled.
Mm-hmm.
Could we all just hang out together? And if somebody's like, hey, don't do that, we'll be like, hey, you do.
Generally, out of tragedy comes cooperation, because at that point you realize it's already too late, and let's try and work together.
Yep. Anyways.
But it's probably all about diamonds.
In also, our Asia, children are going to be fishing.
APEC and ASEAN have announced plans to form the Asian Union, consisting of Asian and Pacific nations, having more than 3 billion people within its borders.
APEC will become the Asian Pacific Union, and the world is to be divided into three great regions for the administrative convenience.
That's straight out of 1984.
World government.
And he's basically describing continents.
Yeah, he's no, and I mean, UN. Even his specific, like, three nations, that's literally straight out of 1984.
But you understand that, like, they that think idea. That, like, George Orwell and
predictive programming.
Aldous Huxley were just allowed to get that out there. Because,
right.
Yeah, that nonsense.
Is to evolve.
As the unions form individually, they are simultaneously merged to form.
Oh, they put lines between the continents. Well, that proves it.
They're trying to destroy every nation on Earth, which is trying to promote progress, because these people basically are their landowners. They don't need progress because they control the land. If you take the most powerful man in London, the people who belong to the Council and the Committee of 300, who belong to the Bilderbergers, you know, the British royalty, the Guelphs, the black nobility of Venice and Genoa.
The black nobility?
These people, they're landowners. The New World Order is the Old World Order. I mean, it's just the names have changed, the appearances have changed.
Well, then stop calling it that!
The concept hasn't changed. The idea is still to bring the men back, kicking and screaming back to the Middle Ages, post-industrial age world order.
One of the things that is very shocking to
most
Americans
is the fact that
the United Nations Global Biodiversity Assessment, which came out in 1995, clearly shows that in order to protect planet Earth, we have to go back to a feudal system. They actually said that in the document.
They didn't.
To craft.
We talked about that already. That was the Kissinger thing. They didn't actually say
no,
that at all.
No, you have to go back to a feudal society. Everybody knows that.
They didn't say that.
And everybody knows that if you want a perfect societal blueprint for technological advancement, it's serfdom.
Also,
that's how you utilize all of your resources properly. If you want somebody to invent something, you make sure that 95% of people are working under horrific conditions on a fucking farm.
That
way,
doesn't lead to World
you
War
utilize I. your human resources as well as you can. You definitely don't want any sort of mobility going along, because then people would be able to fucking discover things or change their position, and they would be able to contribute in a way that otherwise they wouldn't be able to contribute fucking farmer.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
serfs.
Totally.
Serfs.
Yeah.
That's the best form of world government. Serfdom.
Yep.
Yep.
These people are so fuck. I don't know who I'm angrier at.
Me?
Them or the people that they pretend to be against. All of their plans are bad.
Well, because they're not real. They're just imagined enemies.
Modern feudal society. The globalists are implementing a standardized North American Union ID card.
God, I just want
to
be...
track, trace, and control their serfs. As
like,
they
I
want
to be a globalist now just to show them
the
what
NAU.
It would be like if you did it right. Like, I want to...
You need more money.
I want to enact an evil plan just to be like, this is how you would evil plan it right.
Globalization, the New World Order is rapidly constructing the physical infrastructure of the North American Union.
Those are highways.
The NAFTA Superhighway Control Grid.
I'm Arthur Peter.
So this is the Trans-Texas Corridor. And
the Trans-Texas Corridor.
These Texans have a real bee in their bonnet about it. And I realize I've said that twice now. Because
it looks pretty cool.
And it also, didn't end up getting, built. This isn't actually the Trans-Texas Corridor, but it's supposed to evoke that.
Just an colonel retired.
I mean, it's pretty
cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool highways out there.
Yeah.
That are happening.
That seems like something we should celebrate.
My friend,
this guy,
who died in World War II, turned over in their grave.
What are you talking
about? To think that people would even consider confiscating land of farmers and ranchers and taking their homes away from them.
Yeah, it'd be terrible if they
turn it over to a foreign company in Spain, which is controlled by Don Carlos, I understand, a notorious socialist, and they get the tolls on Texas land for 50 years.
The proposed Trans-Texas Corridor would be a patchwork
of
super highways and railroads stretching 4,000 miles from the border of Mexico, coming through Texas to Oklahoma. A lease has been signed that would make Texas Highway 121 a toll road. A private Spanish company won the bid to build and collect the tolls for the next 50 years.
It's capitalism, bro.
These deals private companies are being negotiated largely
in secret. How do you think
Chicago
feels about
its parking state lawmakers are worried taxpayers are being sold down the road.
Critics say it's a threat to our national security. It's part of a plan for a North American integration being carried out by government and corporate elites without congressional or voter approval.
They just found literally every clip of somebody saying elite they could and then just tried to ham-fist it in somewhere.
Or just all the coverage of this.
Yeah.
So, like,
some people are saying
over central Texas to get a bird's eye view of the Trans-Texas Corridor, which is under construction and will form the heart of the Trans-NAFTA Superhighway System.
The Trans-NAFTA Superhighway System.
Mm-hmm. That's just a highway.
That doesn't look
History repeats itself.
What is that?
2,000 years ago, all roads led to Rome.
That's an expression.
Rome constructed and maintained more than 10,000 miles of roads throughout its empire.
They
That's
did.
That's called good infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
The roads were used to project Roman military power.
Or to travel.
To control commerce.
It's also a gift
and
to bind
the nations
of
the people they ruled.
You know how much easier
Rome
it is
also
to get food on a good road?
Roman subjects from Albion to Judea were forced to pay a tax to use the roads.
Well, yeah.
The Romans would then use the tax to dominate their subjects.
Or build other things.
Today's superhighways are a powerful tool in the globalist arsenal.
I want to be clear.
So no one should ever build highways.
I want to be clear. Alex is fucking pissed off about this highway. And I don't understand why.
He's mad about the highway specifically.
Yes. And I have some complaints about the general highway system that we'll get into a little bit later.
Okay.
But, like, in terms of this specific one, all of his complaints fall flat. This Trans-Texas Corridor makes no sense why he's mad about it. It's just that it's foreign companies. That's the only thing I can really imagine. There's a Spanish company who's going to get tolls.
Oh, okay. So then what we should do instead is we should federalize it and allow the federal government to...
Well, I mean, the reality is clearly they had in that report that there was open bidding and the Spanish company paid more than American
right.
companies were willing to pay.
Right. So, well, then we should have the federal government do it. It should be a nationalized road system.
Well, hold
Nothing
on.
Is more That's... American than a national.
I don't know. I believe in the free market until a foreign company gets involved. And
right.
Then I'm not super thrilled with it because it's taking away my national sovereignty, which is an abstract
right.
concept
right,
that I'm
right.
not entirely sure about.
But I don't want the government to get involved within it. Because that would be taking away my personal
then
sovereignty.
That's socialism or something.
Yeah, exactly. So what we gotta have is American companies with more prosperity to do so.
Now, I will say, in terms of the complaints about, like, this mega highway getting into people's land and eminent domain and that sort of stuff, I am very sympathetic to them. I do feel a sympathy.
I'm
now,
only
granted,
somewhat
your,
sympathetic.
Your response is also something I'm sympathetic to. But the idea of we're going to build this and it's going to go through your land and that sort of stuff, I think that's an issue that needs to be dealt with. I don't think I'm not super comfortable with it. But
why do you have that land? Generally, do you know what my biggest question to people anytime they're like, "Oh, they're taking my land away." It's like, "Why do you have that land?"
Oh, I stole it from somebody.
Do you have that land because you made it? Because you built it? Because you? Why do you have that land?
Right.
Answer that question, and then I'll tell you to go fuck yourself. Unless
there is a maybe it's because I'm like two beers deep, but there's a certain part of it that's really attractive to me. That like you should not be able to own land, water, air. You shouldn't be able to own any of the elements.
Probably.
It
yeah.
seems to me yeah. that might be the case, but I might be getting
yeah.
hippy-dippy here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Look, if it's mentioned in the TV series Avatar,
right.
The Last Airbender.
If you can bend it, you can't own it.
You can't own it.
Five parts
instrumental
right.
in tearing
you
down
get five
national
points.
Borders,
For sure.
emerging nation states into larger confederations.
So his argument essentially is that if this superhighway goes through all of these countries, then they're merged in some sort of way, which doesn't make
right.
sense.
No, that makes perfect sense.
There's interstate highways.
No,
there's
roads
international
aren't.
Highways.
Roads aren't allowed to go between countries.
It's ridiculous.
Roads aren't allowed to go between states.
Argument is ridiculous.
Foreign governments and corporations are predatorily seizing infrastructure across North America.
I forgot.
America,
we're an hour and 10 minutes in.
Has their attack been?
Try.
What is it? What are we trying to accomplish?
Your notes need to figure out what the point of this
okay.
is.
Greater than in Texas. Texas is the front line. Over 8,000 miles of existing roads and land are being handed over to government-backed foreign companies.
Foreign companies buy the legislators, who then turn over complete control to the same foreigners who finance their campaigns.
Damn foreigners.
Government power is then illegally transferred to unelected quasi-governmental regional boards that circumvent local governments and the will of the people.
So at this point, like, a lot of, I'm not coming in with a lot of, like, rebuttals to stuff because
right,
it's just
this
like,
is magic.
Well, it's just water off my back like a duck. Cause in the bibliography, so much of this stuff is just like news reports about a road getting built or something
right.
like that, or articles on InfoWars. I'm like, I don't care.
Or
don't.
In this shot, we see a large group of angry old white people.
Old white people.
All old white people.
I would say that's 60% gray hairs right there.
If there is nothing I know.
They're mad about this road.
If there is nothing I know about this documentary or anything at all, but I saw this many old white people looking angry, I'd be like, whatever it is they're mad about, we need to do because they are wrong.
It's interesting, though, so far we have...
if you are old and white, you are wrong 95% of the time.
The journey through this documentary so far has been bizarre, abstract shots of World War II at the opening that amount to nothing.
Right.
Then Alex goes to Canada.
Right.
And then now... I'm mad about a road.
Right.
So that's where we're at. We're at the mad about a road segment.
From where I understand this, we're at an hour and 8 minutes in.
Right.
About halfway. We started with here's how rich people have been fucking you over.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where rich people fuck you over. Now there's a road.
There's a road.
Somebody's got to fucking stop this goddamn road.
Yeah, and it's going to be up to Texas.
It's going to be old white people who's going to do it.
Texas is that backstop in case the globalists get too powerful.
Why we took it in the first place, Dan.
Right, I know. It's William Travis shit. Texas has got to stop this road.
Texas has got to get in it.
And that is where we will have to cut it off for today. Thank you for joining us. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about this stupid road in Texas and how pissed off Alex Jones and all the patriots are about it. Thank you again for listening. Really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about us, you can go to knowledgefight.com. Also on knowledgefight.com is the bibliography for our coverage of Alex Jones's dumb, dumb documentary Endgame. You can find citations for the things that we're talking about, some short explainers about the narratives that he's throwing around willy-nilly and lying to everybody about. So if you'd like to check that out, it's there on knowledgefight.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at knowledge_fight. You can catch us on Facebook. We are there. You can check us out. Like the show. Leave us a review. Also, if you want to leave a review on iTunes, we're there. You can subscribe and all that. And if you'd like to support the show and allow us to continue to keep doing the things that we're doing, go over to knowledgefight.com and click that button that says support the show. Really appreciate it, and it helps a lot. But until next time, we will, I know that we're leaving on a hot cliffhanger, this road. I mean, I know everyone's just like, oh, I gotta know what's gonna happen with this road. And I'm sorry to make you wait till tomorrow, but such is life. Anyway, catch you next time.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.